of honor to our pastor and first family. Hasn't God blessed you with wonderful leadership? When I grow up, I want to be as smooth and as cool as your pastor. I mean that. You just got a cool pastor. You've just got a cool pastor. And not all of you, maybe a few of you, probably get to have had the introduction that I had to your pastor's wife, and that was in the offices at youth camps. And there's only one lady that can just be a diplomatic sniper and just take care of everything that needs to be taken care of. I want to get the credit for that phrase. She just knows how to take care of everything. And I don't know this by experience, but you could walk into her office and you could walk out bleeding and smiling all at the same time, if need be. Now, I don't know that by experience, but I thank God for your pastor and pastor's wife. One more time, can we give a hand if you're truly thankful? I'm thankful for their leadership in this moment and in this hour. And I could not help but reminisce as I observed Sunday and watching different people in various capacities as you moved and ministered, and just seeing the growth and seeing what is transpiring and seeing what is happening from last year until now. I was in awe, and I thanked God. I thanked God for what was and what is happening. And so easy to come to church service after service, and it's so easy to take it for granted, and it's so easy to look around and say it's just us, and we're just doing what we've always been doing. But I don't want this to ever become common to me. I don't want to ever take it for granted that God is using you and I in this end time hour to see His presence carried throughout this region. And I'm so thankful for what God did Sunday morning. I'm so thankful for what God did Sunday night. And I am expectant for what God is going to do this Sunday. If you don't see it, you ought to just already see it in your mind's eye. People lifting up their hands, people speaking in tongues, people being dunked in that water in the name of Jesus. Come on, you got to see it in the Spirit. You got to declare it in the Spirit. We're going to already speak it tonight. We're going to already thank God tonight for every single person filled with the Holy Ghost, for every single person healed, for every single person that is baptized in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Would you go with me to the book of John chapter 21? The book of John chapter 21. I just want to deliver to you what I feel in the Holy Ghost, and we're just going to let the Lord do what He would like to do. Thank you to the musicians and the singers once again for bringing us into the presence of the Lord. And I know there's many on the team, but aren't you thankful for Brother Ben and Sister Ashley that helped lead with excellence and anointing? Now, I've been to a lot of places where the music was really, really great, but it wasn't anointed. And I've also been to several places where it was really anointed and not so great. But we made it work. But God has blessed you with great anointed worship and music. And that makes a big difference. Makes a big difference. John chapter 21, beginning at verse 1. Does anybody feel the Holy Ghost in this house? John chapter 21 and verse 1. And after these things, Jesus showed Himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed He Himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two others of His disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They saith unto him, We also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, Children, have you any meat? And they answered him, No. He said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and you shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of the fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his fisher's coat, for he was naked, and he did cast himself into the sea. By the help of the Holy Ghost, I just want to preach to you tonight on this simple subject, the nail-scarred cook. The nail-scarred cook. Would you say that with me? The nail-scarred cook. God, I thank you for your presence that is in this house. I thank you for your angels that are in this house. I thank you, God, for your spirit that has already came into this room and been moving across the hearts of men and women in this house. God, I thank you for everything that you are going to accomplish. I thank you for everything that you are going to perform. God, your word is already anointed. So God, I ask you to anoint our hearing. God, anoint our heart. Let your word find fertile soil. Let it grow, God. Don't let us just be another hearer of the word. God, this world is full of hearers. God, do not let us be another hearer, but let us be what heaven is looking for. And let us be a doer on this Wednesday night. Let us be a participator on this Wednesday night. Let us be in the middle of what you are doing, God. In the name of Jesus Christ. Would you say that with me? In the name of Jesus Christ. Would you shout that with me? In the name of Jesus Christ. Would you clap your hands unto the Lord tonight? Come on, if you feel his presence, would you just entertain it for just a moment? Come on, somebody bless him for just a moment. Somebody praise him for just a moment. Magnify him according to his greatness. Come on, can I beg you just a few more seconds in this house? Come on, can you let your praise be according to your faith? Can you let your praise be according to your expectancy tonight? Hallelujah! 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 Come on, what would happen if we just did a few more seconds? Just a few more seconds. Somebody is preparing their mind. Somebody's preparing their heart. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, one more time with a thunderous clap. Would you just clap your hands if you really believe that God's going to speak to you tonight? God bless you, and you can be seated on this Wednesday night. Peter had heard the words. He had seen the eyes of Jesus piercing through his soul as his finger pointed at his heart declared to him, Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. These were words full of power. These were words full of promise. These were words full of authority and destiny. Except now there was one slight, small problem. The one who had just declared these words was now hanging upon a tree with nails going through his hands and a nail going through his feet and a spear being thrust through his side.
The same one that had spoken those words had been placed in a borrowed tomb, and now Peter, who had destiny on his life, and Peter, who had anointing on his life, is now full of chaos and confusion. His whole world turned upside down. What was happening? What was going to take place? I thought we were in revival. I thought miracles were happening. I thought we were going to see some things that we had never seen before. And in a moment of fear, in a moment of doubt, Peter stands up and he declares, I'm going fishing. All of a sudden, those around him begin to echo his same sentiment. And, you know, they begin to get themselves together, and they begin to shake their heads and bump each other on the elbows and said, you know what? We're going to go fishing too. And all of a sudden, I go a-fishing turns into we go a-fishing. Because it matters what voice you allow to speak into your life. And it matters what voices that you allow to speak into your spirit. Because if there's anything I've learned about humanity, oftentimes we're more unified in going backward than we are going forward. The Bible says that they got in their boats immediately. Without hesitation, without delay, because our human nature doesn't mind being unified. The problem comes when we are unified in our fear and unified in our doubt and unified in going backward. And the Bible says they were just that. They were unified. But they were unified in going backward. And the Bible says that they went immediately to their boats and they began to cast out into the sea and they began to throw their nets on the other side of the boat. You see, Peter was going back to what was convenient. Peter was going back to what he had formerly known. Peter was going back to what he was an expert at. Peter was going back to what he was a professional at. Peter was going back to what was logical, what he could compute within his mind. So the Bible says they started fishing. They begin fishing and they didn't catch anything. That's all right. They're experts. They're professionals. So they kept on fishing and they didn't catch anything. And they're fishing into the night. And it's about midnight now, but there's nobody sweating. Nobody's worrying because they've done this a million nights. They know what they're doing. And so they keep on fishing and Ben, they're not catching anything. And so they keep on fishing and they're not catching anything. And all of a sudden, dawn is about to break. And now they're in a fury. They're in a panic and they're looking around. And the Bible says they caught nothing. You want to talk about a statement full of grace. They caught nothing. They are failing and they are frustrated. And the Bible lets us know they are leaning upon the edge of their boat, but they're leaning upon their own understanding. They're trying to go back to what they know to do. They're trying to go back to what is logical. They're trying to go back to... And the Bible says they caught nothing. Can I remind us on a Wednesday night that when you have been an eyewitness of God's power and when you have been an eyewitness of God's glory and you have been an eyewitness of revival and you have been an eyewitness of healing and you have been an eyewitness of miracles, God will not let you go back from where you came from and God will not let you go back to who you used to be. Can I just prophesy to some people on a Wednesday night? God's going to start allowing you to fail where you used to succeed. Because God has had his eye upon you. And God's already made up in his mind that his hand is upon you, his purpose is upon you, and his calling is upon you. And if you try to go back, you're going to fail. And if you try to go back, you're going to be frustrated. And if you try to go back by the grace of God, you're not going to catch anything. Because there's something in front of you that is greater than what is behind you. You got to hear me tonight. Hear me tonight. All of a sudden, They're doing what they've known to do, and they're casting out their nets on the other side, and they're fishing, and they're not catching anything. And all of a sudden, while they're fishing, there comes a voice. There comes a voice. And the voice simply says this, "Children, do you have any meat?" Can I just pause right here and ask you a simple question? Do you really want to know why you get on hell's nerves? Do you really want to know why you bother the devil? Because even when you're running, you're still God's child. And even when you're failing, you're still God's child. And even when you're frustrated, you're still God's child. And even when you're not catching anything, you're still God. And even when you don't see him, you're still his child. And even when you're not praying, you're still his child. And even when you've gotten a little carnal, you're still his child. And he can see you even if you cannot see him. Come on, I just need somebody to clap their hands right now if you're a living witness. I didn't always run to him. Sometimes I ran from him. But he didn't stop looking for me. He didn't stop watching me. He could still see me. All of a sudden a voice comes. You see, I want you to hear me right now. It's not even daylight yet. The sun hasn't even broken through the clouds yet. It's all of a sudden, a voice comes. A voice comes in the darkness. You see, Genesis tells us that evening and morning were the first day. Evening and morning were the first day. So it wasn't light and then darkness. It was darkness and then light. It wasn't day and then night. It was night and then day. What does that tell me? Even if it's dark, God is not done. In reality, he might just be getting started. Do not let your circumstance, do not let your environment, do not let what appears to be cause you to miss what is appointed to be. Because God can step out and God can speak up anytime he wants. Are you with me tonight? Now we know it was Jesus. They don't. They're looking around like, who is this cray cray person screaming and shouting at us at this time of night? Children, do you have any meat? Now I can tell right now that they're not in a good mood, because the simple answer is no, we don't. Have you ever sat down and you sent somebody this heartfelt text, a paragraph, how much you love and appreciate them, and all of a sudden they just say, thanks. You're like, I spent 10 minutes pouring out my love, and I stopped all the traffic, and I waited in the Starbucks line just to send you a paragraph of my heart, and all I get is, thanks. I feel I'm hitting on somebody tonight. Jesus says, hey, do you have any meat? He said, no. Why are you asking us for something that we don't have? Because it's one thing for God to know the answer. It's another thing for you to know the answer. God knows when we are down to nothing. But he wants us to know when we are down to nothing. For when we can acknowledge that we are down to nothing, God can do what he did in the beginning. What did he do in the beginning? He spoke to nothing and he made something. So if you came on a Wednesday night saying, I'm a nothing, I'm a nobody, you're miracle material. God can... Come on, when the devil says you're nothing, I say, yes, sir, I am. Because God can make something out of nothing. Are you with me tonight? You got to stay with me tonight. God's going to speak to us tonight. All of a sudden, he's speaking and he's asking them, children, do you have any meat? And the answer is no. And if it's not crazy to speak to somebody who is fishing, because you don't talk to people who's fishing. Now, I love my dad. My dad will talk to me anytime, anywhere, any place, except when we're on a boat fishing. You try to talk to a man while he's fishing, you're in trouble. And so not only is Jesus screaming at them while they're fishing, now he starts telling experts what to do. Hey, what I think you should do is cast your net on the other side. Who is this lunatic trying to tell us what? He don't even know nothing. He's screaming around fish. Everybody and their mama knows you don't scream when you're fishing. And he wants to tell us how to have revival. He wants to tell us how we can save our city. He wants to tell us. Cast your net on the other side of the boat. Have an all-night prayer meeting. Have a Friends Day. And believe that God can fill any and everybody with the Holy Ghost. What is he saying? Well, he said to cast on the other side of the boat. Does he know what he's saying? Hey, Jesus. There we go again. They don't know it's Jesus yet. They're speaking to a Savior stranger. And they said, hey, we hate to break it to you. Thanks for being nice and all, but it's the same ship. And it's the same water. And it's the same fishermen. And it's the same nets. And well, it would have been the same fish, but you took care of that when you started screaming. We got him now. He'll shut up now. Cast your net on the other side of the boat. Now you got to realize these nets are heavy. These nets weigh pounds and pounds and pounds. So it's quite inconvenient for them to gather and to bring up all of the nets and to pull them to the other side of the boat. But if you're going to hear the word of God and you're going to obey the word of God, you're going to have to get over something. You might have to get over bitterness. You might have to get over Oh, but it's a tangled mess. If you're going to obey the word of the Lord, you're going to have to get over it. Don't get stuck where everybody... You can't get stuck where everybody else gets stuck. You can't get tangled where everybody else... Do you know what she did? Do you know what he said? No, I got to get over it. I've got a word. Revival is too great for us to get stuck on the petty. Revival is too great for us to get stuck on the temporal. Revival is too great for us to get stuck where everybody else gets stuck. Are you denying what's happened? No, I'm not denying what she said and what they said and what he's did. But you see, there's a word. And you see, there's a revival. Well, no, you don't understand. You see. What are you doing? It's the same boat, and it's the same fish, and it's the same fisherman, and it's the same net. Wrong. Everything's going to be the same. Wrong. There's one small difference. A word has been spoken. A word has been spoken. I'll go try it on this side. When a word has been spoken, the youth are not going to be the same. The saints are not going to be the same. The Sunday school teacher's not going to be the same. The pastor's not. I've got a word. Nothing will be the same. Nothing will be the same. I don't know how it's going to be. I don't know how it's going to fall into place. But I've got a word. And we gotta have a little help for just a moment. Can I borrow this from you? All right. I'm gonna borrow that too. I'm gonna borrow this. Hey, come help me, brother. Help me. I need some fishermen. All right. All right, you're going to join me in the boat. Y'all can be seated for just a minute. Y'all just pardon us. Commercial break, get some popcorn. Pastor, come help me. We're in the boat together. Hey, yeah, our boat's going to sink. There we go. All right, our boat's complete. So we're in the boat, and I need some fish. Would you like to be a fish? Would you like to be a fish? Join my brother over here. Y'all be good fish, okay? Y'all be fish. I need y'all. Fish don't sit cross-legged. I need y'all to flop around. I need y'all to jump, do hula hoops, cartwheels. If anybody tells you that you cannot have fun in church, don't believe them. Because Pastor Shindall didn't say that. You can have fun in church. Uh-oh. We might need to start a sermon series on fun. So we're in the boat. We've been fishing all night. And all of a sudden, Jesus tells us that we've got to cast our net from this side of the boat to that side of the boat. So what do? We grumbled a little bit. We didn't really care for it. We don't know why this stranger is screaming at us. But we got all the nets, and we put it on this side of the boat. And the Bible says that when they cast on the right side of the boat, what's the right side of the boat? Whatever side God tells you. What's the right side of the answer? Whatever answer God gives you. What's the right side of the problem? Whatever solution God gives you. And the Bible says that they take the nets and they put it over it. All of a sudden, they realize something is tugging at our nets. And there's fish in their nets. Now you got to hear me. All night they've been on this side of the boat. One, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight. And all night, their answer has been 8 feet away from them. I come with the word from the Lord. It's closer than you think. It's closer than you think. You don't have to believe it. You don't have to shout about it. You don't have to run the aisles about it. But there's some things that you've been praying for, and I want to come against the fear. I want to come against the doubt and say it's closer than you realize. It's closer than you realize. I can see it. I can sense it. It's right there. How would you come to church on Sunday if you knew you were just 8 feet away from your miracle? How would you come to church on Sunday if you knew Monday the doctor was going to call you and confirm the healing? How would you leave service tonight if you went home to a phone call that changed your life? I don't know about you, but I refuse. I defy the lie that says it's weeks away, it's months away, it's years away. No, it's right there. You can be seated for just a minute. All of a sudden, stay right there, Pastor. All of a sudden, they're throwing their nets on the other side. And they're feeling the fish. And the fish. Thank you, fish. Give a hand for our fish. And they're pulling in the fish. They're pulling in all the fish. Pulling in all the fish. We're going to help our fish out. You see, there's two tests in your life. There's going to be a test when all the fish are in the sea and nothing's in your boat. But then there's a test when all the fish are in your boat and nothing's left in the sea. God's going to test us in lack, but God's also going to test us in plenty. But what's success if Jesus is not in the boat? What's the job
raise if Jesus is not in the boat? What's a new car if Jesus is not in the boat? What's a new title, a CEO, if Jesus is not in the boat? Because I learned a long time ago, the only thing worse than being unsuccessful is being successful at something stupid. You see, if you open up that book that's called like the Guinness World Book of Records, you can find somebody that got an award and was successful at owning the world's largest collection of rubber ducks. It's possible to be successful at something stupid. What's stupid? Anything that does not impact eternity is stupid. I don't want to be successful in this world. I want to be successful in that world. That's why I show up to revival. That's why I fast. That's why I pray. That's why I give my tithe. That's why I give beyond my tithe. Because I want Jesus in my boat. Hear me. Can I just keep preaching for a few more minutes? Is that all right? Thank you. She said I could. So now they're in the boat. Oh, you got to get up here with me. You got to get on the chair with me. We're men of faith. And all of a sudden, the Bible says that the disciple whom Jesus loved, he starts scratching his head. And he starts looking at all the fish. Now, we got to go back for just a minute. The Bible says the disciple that Jesus loved. It didn't say his name. The disciple that Jesus loved. Who's he talking about? John. But the Bible didn't say his name. It says the disciple that Jesus loved. But we know who he's talking about. And you know what God is wanting to do in this end time hour? He's not wanting men and women to be known by their name. He's wanting men and women to be known by their intercessory prayer. He's wanting people to be known. Hey, you know that man that worships? I know who that is. You know who that lady that prays? I know who that is. You know who that family that gives? I know who that is. I don't want to be known by Landon. I want to be known as a prayer warrior, a soul winner, an aisle runner, a servant.
God have mercy.
Would you lift your hands for just a moment right now? Come on, I believe God can do things so powerful through you. You're not just known as the banker. You're not just known as the barista at Starbucks. You're not just known as another lady, another man. But people can identify you by your love for God. Come on, if you want that, lift up your hands and tell God right now. I want my dedication to be my identity. I want my submission to be my identity. I want my holiness to be my identity.
Glory, glory, glory.
Hear me right now in the Holy Ghost. Hear me right now in the Holy Ghost. God is trying to raise up difference makers. Can I just speak to the youth for just a minute? God forgive us if our whole life just evolves around our filters and our fake followers and our here on earth glam. When God says, I don't care if you roam the hallways with popularity, what I want to know is, do I hear your voice in my throne room on Monday, Tuesday? God, I want angels to know my name. I want Gabriel to know my name. I want Michael to know my name. I want to be known before the throne room of God.
I'm coming to a close, but I don't want to re-preach Sunday night, but I grew up with my mom and dad waking me up in the middle of the night because their travails were over my ear, and they didn't care about whether I got good enough sleep. But I woke up to them praying, God, use my baby. God, protect my baby. God, keep my baby in truth. I grew up in a home where I got the Holy Ghost in my bedroom. Because my mom just believed that it wasn't just for pastor, and it wasn't just for the four walls of the sanctuary. We were going to have church in our house, and we were going to have prayer in our house, and we ran the aisles in our house, and we jumped in our house, and we read the Word of God in our house. So that's why every once in a while when I'm in a hotel, I got to be real careful so the people above me and below me don't call, because there's just sometimes I just got to move a little bit in my hotel. There's just sometimes I got to wave my hands in my hotel, and there sometimes I got to roll on the floor in my hotel, and there's sometimes I got to pray into my pillow in the hotel, because I just believe wherever God's presence is, I can access it. So the Bible says that the disciple that Jesus loved, he starts looking around. He starts looking around. Come help me, Brother Ben. Let's give him hope. He said, this don't make sense. He said, this does not make sense. So it must be the Lord. Some of you have believed the lie that because it does not make sense, it must not be the Lord. And John said, this does not make sense. And there's only one living, breathing human being that I've ever met on planet Earth that can make miracles from what does not make sense. Hey, Pete, this is the Lord. I can't see him fully. I can't recognize him fully. I can't describe it. I don't know all the details. I don't know how your church is going to double. I just know it's the Lord. I don't know how God can give you a specific healing right there, right then. I just know it's the Lord. How much do y'all have in attendance in your church? 8 or 10. I believe that can double and triple. I believe that can double and triple. This is the Lord. You want to know why it's important? Who you have in your boat. It's really important who you have in your boat. Because there's going to come a moment when your prayers aren't enough. And there's going to come a moment when your worship's not enough. And there's going to come a moment when your humanity pops up and you've got some fear and you've got some doubt. And it's going to be very critical who your best friend is. It's going to be very critical who you pick up the phone and call and text. It's going to be very critical with who you are yoked up with. Because there's going to come a moment in the middle of calling and in the middle of purpose and in the middle of revival where you're going to feel like going back, and God's going to still be watching you, and God's still going to be speaking, and God's going to make them, he's going to make miracles from what don't make sense. And all of a sudden, you're going to look to your brother, you're going to look to your sister and say, and I'm just going to tell some of you in the Holy Ghost, some of you are looking at the wrong person. Because you better have somebody that can link up with you and say, if you don't believe God can heal, let me remind you what God did last month. If you don't believe God can provide for you, let me remind you what God did for me. You don't believe God can bring your child back home, let me tell you about my prodigal. I come to church and I listen to my pastor and I listen to my Holy Ghost-led brothers and sisters. Because there's a moment when I need one of them to look at me and say, this is the Lord. This is the Lord. You don't see it fully, but you've got an anointing on your life, and you don't see it fully, but God's going to use you to win souls, and you don't see it fully, but you're not always going to be carnal and in a mess. This is the Lord working in your life.
What good is a harvest if the soil never changes? What good is a harvest if the soil never changes? What are you trying to say? I'm going to be real plain. What good is it if hundreds come through here and are filled with the Holy Ghost and baptized and healed if the soil is not conducive? What does that mean? Bitterness? Pettiness, casualness, discord. You know what God's wanting to do? God's trying to change the soil. Because the harvest isn't the issue. The harvest is here. The harvest is coming. But when they get in this boat, when it gets in this boat, God can't trust a soul with a bitter child of God. He's looking for an intercessor. He's looking for a prayer warrior. He's looking for somebody submitted. He's looking for somebody holy. He's looking for somebody without an agenda. Lift up our hands for just a moment in this house. Come on, somebody needs to speak over your life right now. Somebody needs to say, the Lord's still working. This is the Lord in my home. This is the Lord in my youth group. This is the Lord in my Sunday school class. This is the Lord at work in my pastor and wife. This is the Lord in my church, in my city. Hear me right now. Hear me in the Holy Ghost. I want you to stand with me. I want you to hear me right now. We're at a decision point in the Spirit. Peter looks at John and he says, are you sure? Are you sure this is the Lord? Yeah, Pete, are you sure? He said, yeah. What'd he start doing? He said, help me put my coat on. Help me put my coat on. You sure this is the Lord? Help me put my coat on. You positive? Yeah, it's the Lord. Okay, where's my coat? Where's my coat? Where's my coat? And he gets ready to make a radical move, and he gets ready to jump into the water. He's been fishing all night. He's just with the guys. He's frustrated, and somehow his coat's come off. The Bible said he's naked. And he's about to jump into the muddy, murky water, and all of a sudden he's about to swim to shore. So why on earth are you putting your coat back on? Peter said, I don't understand everything that's happening, and I can't figure it all out, and I can't describe it, but there's glory on that shore. And in the Old Testament, if you were going to go into the Holy of Holies, you had to cover yourself. You can't want more glory and not put something back on in your life. You can't want more of God and not put something back on in your life. You can't want more revival and not put something back on in your life. What are you saying? Time to put our armor back on. Time to put the garment of praise back on. Time to put on the robe of righteousness back on. Time to put our prayer and our commitment back on. Why? Here's why. If you don't remember anything else that I've said, the Bible says that Peter gets all the way to the shore. And what is Jesus doing? The Bible says that nail-scarred hands are cooking. He's gathered sticks. He's gathered wood. He's built a fire slowly and meticulously. And nail-scarred hands are cooking. What are they cooking? Bread and fish. Hear me in the Holy Ghost when I tell you tonight, there is nothing that you will leave behind you that God has not prepared in front of you in greater proportion and greater significance. I wish I could describe it to you in the spirit until you believed it with every ounce of your being. That there are things being prepared in the spirit. There are things being prepared in the spirit as we speak right now. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, nor has it entered into the heart of man, even closely of everything that God is preparing for his people. I came with a very simple word tonight. It didn't come to blow your mind. I just came as a 6'4" tall, lanky messenger from God. Something's being prepared for you right now. Something's being prepared for you right now. And it's waiting on us. It's not waiting on pastor. It's not waiting on the pastor's wife. It's waiting on us. What are we going to do? Are we going to believe again? Are we going to pray again? Are we going to fast again? Or are we going to stay with what makes sense? Are we going to stay with what is logical? Are we going to stay with what we can compute? Are we going to stay with what we can control? I want everybody to join me in this altar. Would you do that right now? Would you just flood this altar? I know I've went a little long tonight. But would you just come to this front right now? We're not going to be here all night. I want you just to come and stand. Just come and stand. Just come and stand. It's time for everybody. It's time for everybody to be a part. It's time for everybody to be a part. There's people in this room, you feel disqualified. You feel like you don't measure up. Feel like you're not worthy. But you know what? Peter did too. Jesus had been preparing for him. Jesus was gathering for him. Jesus was cooking something for him. But you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that he got all the way to the shore and he got to the shore and Jesus said, "Do you love me?" "Yeah." "Do you love me?" "Yeah." "Do you love me?" Three times he asked and three times Peter told him, "I love you." He said, "Well, then I've got a purpose and a calling for you." You all know the story. He was Peter the denier. He denied Jesus not once, not twice, but three times. Where did he deny him at? By a fire. But now he sat by another fire and Jesus asked him. He said, "Do you love me?" "Yes." "Do you love me?" "Yes." "Do you love me?" He said, "All right. I just need to know that you loved me as much as you doubted me. I just need to know that you loved me as much as you left me. I just need to know that you loved me with the same intensity that you denied me." Because in case you forgot, I told you were going to deny me. I told you when it was going to happen. When? before the rooster crowed. When does a rooster crow? At the end of the day or the beginning of a day? At the beginning of a day. Jesus looked at Peter and said, you're going to deny me. But just when you deny me and just when you mess up, it's not going to be the end of the day. It's going to be the beginning of the day. Because my mercies are new every day. So there's two things that we need to ask God to get out of our spirit tonight. Carnality and condemnation. It's time to get carnality out of our life. Time to start speaking against somebody. Time to stop gossiping. Time to stop being petty and being hurt. And it's time to stop living in condemnation of what we've done years ago and months ago. Because Peter's getting ready to hear another sound. Peter's getting ready to hear the sound of Pentecost. Peter's getting ready to be a preacher and usher in a new dimension of power. And there's people in this room. It's time for you to get on board. It's time for you to get in unity with the man of God. And it's time for you to let God forgive you and let God use you. Because we don't have much time. So we're going to pray a simple prayer right now. The power's not going to be in the words. The power's not going to be in the length. Power is going to be in how much you mean it right now. Because I believe somebody's going to mark this week off their calendar and say something happened that week. Something shifted that week. Something changed that week. Do you believe that? Come on, do you believe that? Would you just close your eyes right now? Would you just lift up your hands right now? All across this house, would you close your eyes? Would you lift up your hands? Would you just begin to lift your voice to the Lord for just a moment right now? God, I'm ready. God, I'm ready for everything that you've prepared for me. I'm ready for everything that you have in store for me. God, I'm ready to put some things back on in my life. I'm ready to silence some voices in my life. God, I'm ready to get over some things. God, I don't want fear stopping me. I don't want bitterness stopping me. I don't want agenda stopping me. I don't want pettiness stopping me. I don't want addiction stopping me. I don't want pornography stopping me. I don't want cynicism stopping me. I don't want unsubmission stopping me. I don't want discord stopping me. I don't want a lack of tithing stopping me. I don't want anything stopping me. Come on, for just a moment, would you be real with God? Would you talk to God? Come on, I'm not come to condemn anybody. I've come to challenge Peter. I've come to challenge Peter. You got to step out of the mediocrity. You got to step out of being callous. You got to step out of being cold. You got to step out of being carnal. Something's being prepared. Miracles are being prepared. Breakthrough is being prepared. Revival's being prepared. For those who want it. Come on, would you reach out right now? Would you reach out on behalf of yourself? Would you reach out on behalf of your marriage? Would you reach out on behalf of your family? Reach out on behalf of your church. I want it. Whatever God's preparing me, I want it. Whatever God is preparing, I want it. I want it. I want it. Telling you in the Holy Ghost, some of you don't realize how close you are. Some of you don't realize how close you are.